Happy are those who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and their meditation on his law day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away.
Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is doomed.
Lord, as we open your word this morning, as we meditate on your word, meditate on the law of your Lord, of the Lord, and delight in it, we pray that we'd be like those happy ones who are deeply rooted in you and bear fruit in their season. And I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, good morning. We are in a series about our values as related to what we call the three streams of Scripture, Spirit, and Sacrament. And we were talking this morning about Scripture related to our value of rootedness. And I had nothing to do with the screens not working, but it actually makes a point that I wanted to make quite nicely. So I'm not mad about it. Because one of the things that I wanted to say is that the Bible and the Christian tradition that is meditating the Bible has often said that the organ of faith is the ear. That faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So the organ of faith, the way that we receive the word of God, is primarily through our ears. And it's a good reminder because we're such a visual culture. So much of our lives are spent consuming images. And even the way that we consume text is often so visual. And the word of God is meant to be received as through our ears. So as we talk about meditation this morning, we're going to be talking about one of the ways we meditate on Scripture is by saying it to ourselves so that we hear it. Because the organ of faith is the ear. So that's the whole sermon just right there in a line. But we're going to talk more about it through the lens of Psalm chapter 1. So a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the value of mystery, and Scripture is related to the value of mystery. And I talked about the Word of God as a dwelling place, a habitat. The Word of God is a habitat that we abide in. And when you live in a habitat, when you inhabit it, it habituates you. It forms you. There's a whole culture of a place. And related to that, the culture of a place is the value of rootedness. Where you are, what soil you're planted in matters. The soil affects what comes out of the soil. The nourishment within that soil affects what grows out of it. And as we talk about rootedness related to Scripture, we're talking about the sense of place. Where do we plant our lives? Where do we draw nourishment from so that we can be established, so that we can be like this tree in Psalm chapter 1? Like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. I'm told I need to be careful because the last time I talked about this psalm and how strong trees were, we had an insane windstorm. I'm not going to talk about that. And I got more texts that next day and pictures from you of trees that were uprooted by wind. So I'm not going to talk about that. Yeah, praise God. But I am going to talk about this vision of the happy life, the good life, the blessed life that Psalm 1 holds before us. Happy are those who do what? Who meditate on the word of the Lord and who delight in it. Psalm 1 tells us that there is a strong relationship between the happy life, the blessed life, the word of God, and rootedness. All of these things are connected. Psalm 1 shows us that the rooted life is the happy life. The rooted life is the good life, the blessed life. Psalm 1 contrasts the happy, blessed, rooted life with the life of the wicked who are blown about because they don't have any rooting. They're just blown around. There's no sense of place. There's no sense of habitat. There's no sense of rootedness, and therefore no sense of true blessedness. So the question is, how do we find this rootedness that Psalm 1 offers us? The psalm tells us that the blessed one is deeply nourished, deeply rooted, a fruitful tree, and that this tree draws its nourishment from the Word of God. And how does this work? How does the Word of God root us? So we're going to talk about three ways that the Word of God roots us. If we had a screen, they would be up here. But now you have to listen, so congratulations. The Word of God roots us, and I'll say these slowly. One, as we meditate on it. The Word of God roots us as we meditate on it. The Word of God roots us as we delight in it. And three, the Word of God roots us as we walk by it. So let's talk about meditating on the law of the Lord. That's what our psalm says in our translation that we use from the Book of Common Prayer. That's the version of the psalm that we use. It says, their delight, who is they? The blessed ones, the happy ones. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night. So we're going to talk about meditation. So meditation is one of those words. It's a suitcase word. You can kind of load anything you want into it. So we need to talk about what meditating on Scripture is in contrast to other versions of meditation. So there is a popular secular version of meditation right now that's sort of vaguely spiritual. It's like gets a whisper of Buddhism into it. But it's this mindfulness meditation. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. There's something about breath work and mindfulness, and there's all sorts of research on it that is powerful. But that's different than meditating on Scripture. That's a different practice. So we're going to talk about what it is to meditate on Scripture. But what I think is interesting about those vaguely spiritual notions of meditation is they always use this word of grounding. So there's an intuitive sense that there's something about meditation that's supposed to ground us. We've got to be grounded. We've got to be rooted. So it's not that it's totally wrong. It's just it's not a complete picture. And even the Christian tradition talks about the use of breath in prayer and meditation. That's not a foreign idea. In fact, one of the oldest prayers in the Christian tradition is the Jesus Prayer, which is a breath prayer. The Jesus Prayer is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That the first phrase we say as we breathe in, and the second phrase we say as we breathe out. And we can use any verse of Scripture in this way as a breath prayer. The first half we say as we breathe in, the second half we say as we breathe out. Obviously, from the first pages of the Scripture, there's a deep connection between our breath and our spiritual life. That's the same word, spirit and breath. So I'm not saying that that's wrong. It can actually be part of meditating on Scripture. But to meditate on Scripture is not, on one hand, sort of this wellness, vaguely spiritual, but mostly secular vision of meditation, or on the other hand, that contemplation and meditation is just the work of the super spiritual, and that you have to go to a monastery or a nunnery to engage in this kind of meditation. No, this is for Christians, the everyday Christian. The kind of meditation the psalm talks about is methodical, deliberate. Am I gone? Okay. Vamping. That one sounds on. Oh, now I'm on. Okay. So hold this as backup. So the kind of meditation that the psalm talks about is slow, methodical, it's deliberate. And it has very earthy images associated with it, because the word for meditate is something like whispering, like saying something over and over again. And the image associated with, and I get this from Eugene Peterson's book on this kind of practice, which is called Eat This Book. He gives us the image of a dog worrying a bone. And if you've ever seen a dog go after a bone, they get everything they can out of the bone. Every ounce of marrow, every ligament, they're going to get everything that they can out of the bone. That's what we're meant to do with Scripture, is to worry it, to turn it over and over and over again. The other very down-home Texas image in cow country for meditation is chewing the cud. And you may know that cows have multiple stomachs and that they chew grass and get the nourishment out of the grass, swallow it, and this is the gross part, spit it back up and then chew it again. Those animals are called rumen animals, and it's where we get the word ruminate, which is another word for meditation. That is what Psalm 1 is talking about. Taking a bit of scripture and chewing on it. Over and over and over again. Like a multifaceted diamond in the in our mind, we turn it over in our mind in multiple ways, trying to get everything that we can out of it. And this is slow. It is methodical. It is deliberate. And that slowness, that deliberate meditation will establish us. It will root us. And again, the contrast between the rooted tree and the chaff that is blown about could not be more of a vivid contrast. A rooted tree and just bits of dust being blown about. Those are the wicked, and I don't want you to think of the wicked primarily in moral terms. I want you to think of them as those, because we've all had these periods of our lives where we just feel rootless and we're just being blown about. We're letting life blow us from one thing to another. We're letting circumstances run our lives. And we've all been there where we felt aimless, where we've been blown about. But this kind of rumination where we're pulling nourishment from the word of God is meant to root us. And the second thing that the psalm tells us is that as we do this, there's a delight that comes with it. So the first thing is to meditate on the word of God. But the second thing is that we're supposed to delight in it. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night. Delight gives us a picture of joy, that as we do this, we get a sense of satisfaction out of it, a sense of deep delight. So meditating on the word of God is not meant to be cold and calculated. It's meant to be delightful, because through it, we come to know God as delightful. We come to know him as the one who created us, who redeemed us, who sustains us even now by his love. The deeper we move into his word, the deeper he moves into us as we come to know him. Not in an abstract way, but in an intimate, experiential way. And that delight comes from depth. We're all made for depth. We all crave deep things. And depth comes from engaging with deep things. We engage with deep things in a deep way, and that is what makes us deep. Think of the image of the roots going down as deeply as they can, pulling as much nourishment as they can out of the soil. There's a delight in that. Just think of someone who is deeply engaged with an activity that they love. Psychologists call that a flow state, where you lose sense of time because you're so engaged. Watching a musician who is so at one with the instrument, there's depth there, but there's delight there as well. Or a chef or any craftsman who's engaged in their craft, there's depth, there's beauty, there's delight. And that's what meditating on God's word is meant to be. It's meant to be deep. The psalm that says, deep calls to deep. The depth of the word calls to the deep things in us, and we are meant to interact with it, delight in it. So meditation is not reading in a cursory search and destroy scrolling kind of way. This is the least deep way to engage with anything. Right? You're not engaging deeply with anything. You're playing a slot machine. Actually, it's playing you. This is the least deep way to engage with the world, but this is the world tells us this is how we should engage with the world, with everything. This is the most countercultural thing that we can say. Is, no, we're going to go slow. That slow beats fast. That depth beats breadth. That's what this psalm tells us. Rootedness beats rootlessness every time. This kind of meditation, it's slow, it's deliberate, And that deliberation is meant to be delightful, like eating a seven-course meal that's perfectly paced by the chef, where each course comes out and each course cascades into the other and the wine matches with the food. Now imagine that you said to the chef, could you just take all seven courses and all seven wines and put it in a blender so that I can just have this as quickly as possible? Because I just need nourishment. I just need to move on. That would be a desecration of that meal. It would be disgusting as well. We're meant to engage with Scripture like a wonderful meal and engage with it in a slow and deliberate way, and it is meant to delight us. I think of the psalm that says, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother is my soul within me. That is a picture of a child with his mother who doesn't need anything in the moment because it's weaned. Not seeking nourishment, not just seeking some small thing, but the depth of connection between mother and child. I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother is my soul within me. That only happens in the presence of God. And it happens as we meditate on our on his word. It's slowing down. The delight that he talks about in the word is slowing down. And one of the ways that we do this is that we say to ourselves, we read it out loud to ourselves, slowly. That's part of the practice. One of the great preachers of the 20th century in wartime London, Martin Lloyd-Jones, says this, most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. Most of the unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. All the therapists in the room are nodding their head because what they're trying to get their clients to do is to separate themselves from their thoughts and to not to believe that they are their thoughts. Meditating on Scripture says, have higher thoughts. Have better things to feed on. Have better nourishment that you delight in. That's what it is to delight in the word of the Lord as we meditate on it. That faith comes by hearing and hearing in the word of God. Meditation on Scripture is saying it to ourselves. So it's taking a word or a phrase and deliberately working with it over and over and over again, drawing nourishment from it. And as we do that, we move into the third thing, which helps us to walk by the word. Not just to be hearers of the word, but doers also. That's what James tells us. So we hear the word so that we might do it. And our life is the laboratory of the doing. The circumstances of your life that God has ordained are meant to be the laboratory by which you walk in these things. I mentioned the monastery earlier. There's a wonderful little book. It's a little book, and it even has pictures, called Domestic Monastery by Ronald Rollheiser. And he's a monk who says you can take the monastery and you can bring it into your life. Because the thing about the monastery is the belief that where you are situated is the place where God wants to train you in his ways. So he says this, that the monk stays inside the monk's cell, the place where they've been given. And he says we need to stay inside the cell of our lives, meaning our duties, our vocations, and our commitments. And that there is a rich spirituality in these principles. What does he say? Quote, stay inside your commitments, be faithful. Your place of work is a seminary. Your work is a sacrament. Your family is a monastery. Your home is a sanctuary. Stay inside them. Don't betray them. Learn what they are teaching you without constantly looking for life elsewhere. And without constantly believing that God is elsewhere. It's powerful. Because as we meditate on the word of God and ask God how to take it into our lives, we're asking how our lives can then teach us what then to go meditate on. There's a reciprocal mutual informing relationship between these things. Now, as I say this, stay inside your duty, your vocation, your commitments. I am not saying that anyone should stay in a harmful, abusive, or exploitive situation. But the everyday commitments we are made to our marriages, to our families, to our churches, to our workplaces, to our communities, we are meant to stay within those things, to go deep into those things. So don't think of the cell as a prison cell. Think of it as the cell as the building block of life. That's where life comes from, is the cell. So I'm out of time. So here's the teaser. You need to come on Wednesday night, because we're going to talk about how to do this. The practice, that it's called Lectio Divina. And I'll just give you one simple example if you're not able to come on Wednesday night. Taking a scripture, reading it slowly, reading it to yourself, and then asking yourself these three questions. Here are the three questions. What are two major challenges in my life right now? Write them down. Second, what are two joyful things in my life right now? No matter what's going on, it can be that I got a secret Slurpee at 7-Eleven on Tuesday and it was really good. That could be the joyful thing in your life, or it could be that you got a promotion. Everything in between is fair game for joyful things, because our mind is biased towards the negative. We have to train ourselves to say, what is going well in my life? So two major challenges, two joyful things, and then the third is two ways that this scripture is teaching me how to grow, triumph, and endure. How is this scripture? So we're asking God to speak to us. How are you, through your word, asking me to grow in my life, to triumph in my life, and to endure in my life? That's the trailer version of what we're going to talk about on Wednesday. Come on Wednesday. So Jen Kreider and Arena Larson are going to be teaching on Lectio Divina, how to do it. Then you'll actually do it, then you can talk about doing it, what worked, what didn't work. If you're scared by Lectio Divina as a phrase, that's great, because we're just talking about how do I chew on the word in a deliberate way so that I can delight in it. That's what we're talking about. So, faith comes by hearing. The ear is the organ of faith. One of the ways that we meditate is by speaking the word to ourselves. We chew on it, we delight on it, we ruminate on it and draw the nourishment from it, and then we take it into our lives. That's what Psalm 1 says is the blessed life, is the happy life. And if you want to learn more about it, come on Wednesday night for the laboratory version of this talk. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word roots us. And for those of us who feel like we're being blown about by life, we pray that you would establish ourselves in you, that we would find ourselves rooted in you. We ask, Lord, just for a sense of your delight in us through your word. And I pray is that we take your scriptures seriously, that you would help us not just to be hearers of your word, but doers of the word also. And we ask this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.